Good morning.
Good morning.
This morning's scripture is from Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand, and we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. And not only that, but we also boast in our afflictions, knowing that affliction produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. May God bless the reading of his word.
Thank you, Krista. I don't know about you, but the first 18 days of the new year have already felt like a really, really long time. From the massive amounts of snow we've experienced to the never-ending winter break for children, to devastating fires in California, to war around the world, to illness, family troubles, financial worries, uncertainty, and so much more. I don't know about you, but I really wish that this was a video game where I could go back to the last save spot and just get a do-over, right? But unfortunately, life does not work like that. And as much as I wish it did sometimes. So as people of faith, how do we continue on our journey through 2025 on day 19 and beyond? Last week, Pastor Susan shared that our word for 2025 is the word nourish. And we explored the idea that a life that is not nourished cannot flourish. And the first way we are going to begin to explore what the Ashra or the good life means, or what a nourished life with God looks like, is to explore the idea of shalom, or wholeness, or peace, or completeness that is promised by God and that it is experienced with God. Will you join me on the journey? I invite you to pray with me. God of beginnings and endings and all the time in between, be with us now as we open our hearts and minds to your presence. May your peace, which surpasses all understanding, fill us today. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, for you are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Today, I want you to pause and consider your relationship with God. Are you at peace with God? And what does that even mean for you? To help, I invite you to take a look at these four amaryllis bulbs, which are all in different stages of their blooming. Which one, or more than one, most closely resembles where you are in your relationship with God? In full bloom? Just about to bloom? Is there just a little green that you can barely see? Withering a little bit, or wondering if it is alive at all. As you consider where you are on your journey of peace with God, I want to share this other thought. I started buying amaryllis bulbs, actually I was gifted my first one by my mother, a few years ago, and I learned something. Stored in that bulb is everything that plant needs is stored there. And it doesn't need me to look after it. It just needs a little time and a little sunlight. And I will say, this is absolutely perfect for me, who has a black thumb and kills every plant I have ever owned, including a beautiful poinsettia from Christmas that is in my office that I watered and put in sunlight, and now it is dead again. So seriously, I... But I have to say, I also struggle with the amaryllis because I want to go and like water it because that's what you do, right? But you don't need to do that. Instead, I have to trust that it has what it needs. And this is the promise of peace with God that is the gift for each of us and for the world that we find in Scripture. We have already been given it. We don't have to do anything to earn it. We all have all we need to have peace with God. It just takes time and a little light. And we have to trust or put our hope in it. And I think this is what Paul means when he states in our scripture lesson today, therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand. We have already been given peace with God. We have all that we need to experience. It just takes some time and a little light or nourishment, a little bit of trust, and we can see that peace with God bloom in our lives. So what is this peace with God? Well, it's based on this concept of shalom. And I don't know about you, but whenever I first hear the word peace, I tend to connect it to the word quiet. Peace means it's quiet, right? But that's not really the case of what this type of shalom or peace that God is talking about is shalom in the Jewish tradition or translated into Greek, irene. The peace of quiet oftentimes is simply the absence of active fighting. You've probably experienced that type of peace where there's like this heaviness in the air and there's a distance and an estrangement. There might not be fighting, it might be quiet, but there's not peace. But rather, God's peace is greater. It's shalom in the Jewish tradition. Now, sometimes the word shalom is used as a greeting to mean hello or goodbye. Sometimes it is used in the concept of not fighting, like two countries are at peace, at shalom, because they are not fighting each other. But about 65% of the time, when the word shalom is used, it is used to mean wholeness or completeness. It's about the well-being and safety of all people, all creation. And so, in our scripture lesson today, when Paul writes this, it's a very powerful thing for him to say that we have peace with God. Because Paul is writing to the church at Rome in this book of the Romans, which is the capital of the Roman Empire, the Pax Romana, and home of Caesar the emperor. And I will tell you that Paul is not at a place of peace. He's not even in an absence of fighting when he's writing this Romans, his longest letter. Paul is writing this letter around 56 CE, and he's writing it in the city of Corinth. You may connect that to the books of Corinthians. And he's been visiting this church at Corinth, where they have been in major active conflict, some involving personal attacks on his leadership. And so he's in this conflict here. And then he's coming off a conflict with the church of Galatia, who was debating about whether Gentiles needed to convert to Judaism to be Christians. And he was also in conflict with the church in Jerusalem, which was suspicious of Paul's outreach to the Gentiles. So he's in conflict with multiple churches. And now in this letter, he's facing the challenge of introducing himself to a church at Rome who he's going to visit. And he wants them to support him in his ministry. But he didn't found that church, so he doesn't have the same relationship with them as he does with other Christian communities. So he's trying to put his good foot forward. At the same time, he knows there's conflict in that church that was made up of Gentile Christians and Roman Jewish Christians who are having to learn what it means to live all together as the body of Christ. So when Paul writes this letter, he is not in a place of absence of conflict or quiet. But he was at peace with God. And it's from this context that he writes, we already have peace with God. And it is from this place of peace with God that we can begin to experience God's shalom with ourselves, with others, and with all of creation. Thomas Merton was a 20th century Trappist monk who lived most of his life at the Abbey of Our Lady of Gethsemane near Bardstown, Kentucky. And he puts it this way. We are not at peace with others because we are not at peace with ourselves. And we are not at peace with ourselves because we are not at peace with God. Or basically, as one writer puts it, the state of our peace with others and with ourselves will directly reflect the state of our peace with God. And in order to strengthen and extend the branches of peace to others, we first need to water and deepen the roots of our faith and our relationship with God. So I ask you again, what is your relationship with God like right now? Are you at peace with God? And as you consider, I want to invite you to consider these three opportunities that our church has for you to experience a deeper peace with God. Last week, Pastor Susan preached on the power of meditating on God's word, and she invited you to join in reading the whole Bible through this year. And each week on Wednesdays at 7 a.m., Pastor Susan is holding a midweekly reflection on Facebook Live to reflect on the readings. And she wants to invite you to send her questions about what you are reading. I mean, she can talk about it, but she wants to know what your questions are so she can help answer them. And you can join us at any time on that. So here, confession, I have not started my reading through the year yet. Oops. But I can tell you what the best way to, or my way to do it is, which is you can do it online. You can download the YouVersion Bible app, and you can follow the Bible Project's One Story That Reads to Jesus Bible plan. And you can even find Florence Christian Church on that app if it says connect to your church. So that's a really great way to do it. There's also paper copies available. YouVersion has a great kids app too, so kiddos can read along with it too. So wonderful thing. So that's one way that you can deepen your relationship with God. Another way, perhaps that's not quite your thing, is starting next week at 10 a.m., Pastor Susan will be leading a discipleship class for adults. For young people, we have another way kind of helping navigate that. But this one is for adults. And whether you are just beginning to want to learn more about what a life with Christ might look like, or whether you've been a longtime churchgoer, or you simply want to grow, this six-week class is a time for you to learn more about the Christian life. You can sign up by scanning the QR code in your bulletin or filling out the communication card that's in your bulletin and placing it in the offering box in the back, and we can get you information. A third upcoming opportunity is whole body worship. Starting on February 9th, yes, I recognize that it's the Super Bowl. It's called counter-programming, and in my house, the Lions lost last night, so the Super Bowl doesn't exist. So we're going to be offering a whole-body worship experience once a month on the second Sundays at 5 o'clock, so you'll be there for kickoff. And this special worship service is a time of soul care, which involves a sensory worship experience. It'll include mindful movement, breathing, creative prompts, meditative music, communion, and moments of quiet. So to give you a sense of it, you're invited to bring your yoga mat, or you'll sit in a chair and come as comfy clothes as you want. So those are three ways for you to give some time and a little light to your relationship with God. And if you are wondering why your peace individually with God is so important for God's shalom for all creation, let me share with you a story of a young pastor. When a pastor was only 25 years old, he took a cushy job at a church 2 hours from his hometown. All he wanted to do was do some preaching, some pastoral care, and finish his dissertation so he could get his darn degree. He brought his new wife, and they soon were pregnant and had a little girl. His plan was that after a few years of getting his feet wet, he would be able to continue on his successful career path, move on to bigger and better churches, and maybe take over his dad's big church in Atlanta, Georgia. That was his plan. But God had something else in store. Because there was a lot of turmoil in the 1950s. Everyday people of color experienced the humiliation of the Jim Crow laws, and most especially as they rode the bus every day. And when something called the bus boycott began, that young pastor ended up involved and ended up with a leadership role, which I have to tell you, if you have ever been a young person in a room of older people doing leadership elections, you're going to be elected somehow. I think he was chosen because he was the new guy on the block, if you've ever experienced that. And as the boycott continued, it got harder and harder. And one night after he got home late from work, it was around midnight, and he received a call on the telephone. And this was a particularly nasty call with evil in the voice. And the voice said, "We're tired of your mess. And if you aren't out of town in 3 days, we're going to blow up your house and blow your brains out." After that call, that pastor went and sat down in a kitchen, grabbed a cup of coffee, and sat there thinking and praying. He later shared his prayer and what happened. He said this, "I was ready to give up. With my cup of coffee sitting untouched before me, I tried to think of a way to move out of the picture without appearing a coward. In this state of exhaustion, when my courage had all but gone, I decided to take the problem to God. With my head in my hands, I bowed over the kitchen table and prayed aloud. The words I spoke to God that midnight are still vivid in my memory. I'm here, taking a stand for what I believe is right, but now I am afraid. The people are looking to me for leadership, and if I stand before them without strength and courage, they too will falter. I'm at the end of my powers. I have nothing left. I've come to the point where I can't face it alone." And he said that at that moment, he experienced the presence of the divine as he had never experienced God before. It seemed as though he could hear the quiet assurance of an inner voice saying, "Stand up for justice, stand up for truth, and God will be at your side forever." He says, almost at once my fears began to go. My uncertainty disappeared, and I was ready to face anything. That pastor, Martin Luther King Jr., did not experience an absence of conflict that night. In fact, 3 nights later, his house was bombed with his wife and baby daughter inside. But he was at peace with God that night. He wrestled with God during his journey, as well as we all do. But he never lost that peace, that assurance, that hope that Paul talks about in our scripture lesson. All of these are gifts of God's peace, which we have already received. So just give it a little bit of time and a little light, and you too will experience the blooming of shalom, of being at peace with God. Amen. Amen.